Welcome to Cinema Savants, your home for all your movie and TV news with Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's show, MoviePass continues to die, although it's not because it was shot by James Gunn. And Sony teams up with Warner Brothers unofficially to prove that they really just don't know what they're doing. But first, I'd like to remind you to like the show on Facebook and subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store or YouTube or wherever you find the show, because it's everywhere. In the meantime, let's start the show with a movie that should not be making near as much money as it is. Because a long time ago, a Godzilla met a Jaws, and they had a kid, and her name is Meg. What? Okay, fine. There's a big shark. It eats people. Let's make a movie about it. And how is it beating Mission Impossible 6?
Because Mission Impossible 6 has been out for a while. Good morning. How are you?
Good evening,
depending on when you're listening to the show. I'm not surprised it's making money. It's a big, goofy summer monster movie.
With Jason Statham.
Which does make a big difference there. When you said that, that made me wish that actually that they had just taken Meg Ryan and just made her like 90. Yeah, that would have been so fun to see Meg Ryan swinging around.
Like the 50-foot Meg.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. That'd be beautiful. I actually want to see this movie because it looks like over-the-top, stupid fun. Yeah. And the fact that Jason Statham said that he was, from the script, it was going to be an R-rated, really heavy, gore-filled thing. And he was kind of disappointed that they toned down the violence. And I think that's cool because
sometimes
now,
it works.
Yeah, and so it's a little more family-friendly since
other
it's PG-13. And it's probably not. Let me take away the probably qualifier. It's obviously intensely stupid. You can tell that from the trailer, but it just looks like a lot of fun. It reminds me of, Rampage, a movie which looked intensely stupid from the trailers and kind of is, but it's a really fun movie, as you said. And your review made me go see it. And that's just a super fun movie. So I have a feeling that's what Meg is. It's just kind of a comic rip on Jaws, and
for me, cool. The Rampage thing, though, I was looking for bits and pieces of the video game.
Oh yeah,
because I actually still have that on an old PS2 arcade disc, and I will play that occasionally because it is still fun.
It is fun.
So,
and I was so disappointed, as you were, that there was not a guy in a bathtub.
There needs to be the guy. That is such a bizarre thing.
Yeah,
for anybody to say.
They can't believe it's
part of, if you find the video game, which I'll recommend the video game over the movie, you'll understand the guy in the bathtub thing when you play the game, and you'll go,
it's wonderful.
That's ludicrous, but okay. It just threw me off that the Meg made more money this weekend than MoviePass.
Yes.
I work on my segues before the show.
MoviePass has been such a disaster. Lee, as far as we know, who isn't here, of course, because he has a life, the bastard. Still has his MoviePass. I canceled my subscription because
and you were the biggest proponent on this show.
Yeah, and it just gets intensely wrong. So the latest thing, they all of 2 weeks ago, they were going to up the price to $14.95. I was like, okay. And then they said, we got too much bounce back from that, so we're not going to do that. So instead, we're going to keep it at $9.95, but we're going to restrict your movies to 3 a month, which is kind of different from...
You still save a little bit of money, but
you still save money, right? You still save money because it's $9.95, and now you can see 3 movies, which is still a good deal, right? And with no restrictions, was what they said, except there are still restrictions. Restrictions being they still are blacking out the big releases. They don't really push that, but they are blacking out a lot of the big releases. Depends at the theater. For instance, The Meg at this particular theater, because I'm looking at my app right now, is not blacked out. At other theaters, it is. One thing they have done that they didn't announce is they've restricted your choices to one of 2 films. random films, apparently. For instance, at this theater, which has 18 screens, you can either watch Slender Man or The Meg. And they also, by the way, still have the upcharge pricing for two of the showings of The Meg, even though they said they got rid of that.
Uh-huh.
So they clearly have no concept of what they're doing, or they're not able to implement what they said they were going to do. And which is why I canceled, because at any given, literally at any given moment, you'll have no idea of what movie you'll be able to watch. Because if you check the listings in the morning, oh, cool, I can go see this movie. But if you check it later in the afternoon, that might not be available at all. Not because they sold out, but just because they took it off.
By the time because they decided to block it.
It's, yeah, I mean, it literally, they seem to be just not even making decisions, but just throwing darts, and whatever hits in any given moment is what the deal is going to be. And how can you have any faith in a company that has, I'm talking about having no direction. I mean, oh my God, the steering wheel is completely gone and the tie rods are broken. There's no way to tell what you're going to get with MoviePass in any given moment. So to me, it's not even worth $9.95. If I knew that I could see any movie I wanted to,
at any given time in any given theater,
and I'm not talking about IMAX and all the rest of it. Just I get my choice of films is which what they laid. They said in their latest announcement, which was I don't know two heartbeats ago. Yeah. They're not living up to that. So no, you can't have my $9.95. So instead, I did switch over to what was early reviewed as The Enemy in my list with the AMC A list. And obviously, if you don't have an AMC theater near you, it's worthless. But I happen to have one that's like 4 miles away.
You win.
And it's $19.95 a month. It's like, okay. But it's three movies a week. And that does include IMAX. That does include, and that's not discounts on it. It's go see three IMAX movies a week for $19.95 a month. That's a great deal. It's still not as good as MoviePass was in the original. But since it's a captive audience, AMC probably can afford to keep doing this and they won't shut down.
Exactly.
So it's MoviePass was great, but the fact that they never figured out how to monetize it, and their claims always were, oh, we'll sell the data and blah, blah, blah. It's like, apparently they never had a deal in place to do that with anybody and couldn't figure out how to do that. And they were betting on, oh, well, we'll get the movie theaters to give us a bulk price on the tickets, and never really worked at that. And instead had like an antagonistic relationship with them. It's like, God, just they are so clearly stupid. Yeah. They're not ignorant. They're just stupid, because you can't possibly make the decisions they've made over the past 2 months without being just a pack of morons and not understanding that you're alienating your customer base because they have no idea what the hell you're offering. So it's terrible, but
speaking of a pack of morons,
the Yay!
Academy Awards, because that works as a segue.
That was almost
changing several things at the Academy Awards, most of which I do not care about in the slightest. They did add a category, though, called, and I'm where is it? The popular movie category.
The best popular movie. The thing I love about this is the direct implication is that for the 80-odd years of the Oscars' existence, that the award has been for the best unpopular movie.
Right.
And they can't see that.
They didn't think that far.
First place, we don't need the best popular movie award, because that's so stupid. There obviously have been popular movies that have won Oscars.
But yes.
You know, it's just
Not as many.
Not as many, true. And they do have kind of a reputation of awarding small little films, you know. Like Moonlight, when it finally did win the award. Moonlight didn't exactly make a ton of money. Three Billboards didn't make a ton of money. I mean, you know.
The King didn't make a ton of... Oh, wait.
Yeah, Titanic. Didn't make a lot of money. So it's just such a ridiculous... I'm not sure even where this came from, but there was some hue and cry about this.
For me, part of this is that the blockbusters don't need the awards.
You're right. Their rewards are the money.
They need the awards to drive people to see the movie, to buy it on DVD, or let's go back to VHS, or hey, it's being re-released in a theater, go see it. Mm-hmm. Oh, because it won an Oscar. As opposed to, you know, the Avengers. Yes, let's give them an award to drive people to buy the DVD. The people have already bought the DVD. Right. They've bought the toys. I mean, come on. They don't need an award. But at the same time, I have seen some of the, you know, the blockbuster movies and some of the movies that won the awards and gone, the movie that won the award is kind of crap. I'm not saying Moonlight was a crap movie.
No, absolutely. That happens. Or maybe not to the extent that it's crap, but why did they make that choice? You know, like Shakespeare in Love won the same year Saving Private Ryan came out. I really like Shakespeare in Love. It's a really good movie. Saving Private Ryan is a great film. And it just seems that obviously it can't be objective, but I think most people subjectively just like, come on. There's no comparison between which is the better film. There's no comparison even between which is the better movie, if you think of it in those terms. And there are a lot of – the Hurt Locker won Best Film. And it's like, it's a really good movie, but no, that's not – that wasn't the best film that came out. And that happens a lot. Yeah. And this – it just seems such a knee-jerk thing. It's like, oh, we've got to have an Oscar for the best popular film. No, you don't.
I don't watch the Oscars anyway because
for all the reasons you gave. I watch the Oscars because inevitably there's going to be some either really ridiculous moment, not counting the horror show, which are their production numbers, or there's going to be some really touching acceptance thing. You know, it's going to be Tom Hanks talking about his dad and teachers, or it's going to be Cuba Gooding Jr. just going off and just having this. I don't even know how a joy fest when he won. I mean, that was just an amazing moment. So that's why I watch. I don't really care.
When Jimmy Kimmel brought in the tour group.
No, it was not. It's not for those moments. It's for when Moonlight doesn't win and then does.
There is that.
Oh my God.
It's certainly not when any of the Chris's win an award, which apparently the Chris's are not going to be winning an award for any future Star Trek movies, because both Chris Pine and Chris Hemsworth, who were supposed to be in the forthcoming, it feels like the 44th coming,
it does.
The upcoming Star Trek movie, they both went, we were signed for three films, did three films, we're done, bye-bye, and that just kind of threw the whole thing up in the air because Chris Pine played Captain Kirk. And you can't really do that generation of Star Trek without a Captain Kirk and recasting it. I'm not sure that would work.
No, that wouldn't work. I wonder how much money they're looking for.
Probably a lot, I would suspect.
I would assume so, but I would also assume that I can see them saying Chris Hemsworth, we don't really need you. We were hoping to have Dad come back, blah, blah, blah. Right. Unless it was going to be some time travel thing and he was going to be a major character, and maybe he was, in which case, no, it won't work. But really, most people wouldn't notice that recasting because probably most people don't even remember that he was the dad because he had, 6 minutes of screen time. But, yeah,
wasn't it before Thor?
Yeah. Exactly. So it was before people really knew who he was.
Right. I went back and watched it and went, hang on a minute, that's Thor.
This is when he was famous for the Cabin in the Woods. Not so much a big star at that time. So they could go on without him, obviously. But
like
going
out
without Chris Pine, exactly like they have, but going out with Chris Pine makes it a little bit difficult. So I'm kind of thinking, go ahead and pay the guy. I mean,
pay one of them. Take the money you're going to give the other. Give it to Chris Pine.
There you go.
Not that Chris Pine needs the money, but
or they could give the money to Chris Hardwick and have him come on.
Chris Hardwick would wet himself just to get the opportunity.
He would. And Chris Hardwick is, I don't know if you saw this, but apparently some staffers of the Talking Dead show have walked off the show because he's back.
He was on, what was, he was on something my wife was, American Idol or something. As
Ew.
A judge.
Ew. Actually, American Idol's kind of fun.
I just walked by, because I cannot stand those shows. I just walked through the room and went, I wasn't even looking at it, and I went, I know that voice. Why do I know that? Hang on a minute. Because, see, the thing for me, is America's Got Talent.
Ah.
That's what it was. Which confuses me, because none of the regular judges and very few of the actual acts are actually American. It's not that I'm patriotic. I'm just liking the whole concept of, you know, truth in advertising. I mean, seriously, you've got four judges, three Brits and a Canadian. Did you guys not think this through? Anyway, I digress. Back to stuff that we actually liked. Ish. Marvel is making a big appeal to Disney to rehire James Gunn.
Yes.
And part of it is because of the whole knee-jerk reaction to James Gunn making his stupid jokes back then, that he apologized at the time for them, but that's not enough for some people. That's fine. Marvel brought up the idea of, you know, if you break the contract with him, you still have to pay him. And if we're going to pay him, we may as well use him. Which I kind of went, you know.
Right.
There's an idea. And this brought in a flurry of comments, a lot of them from people involved with the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, like Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
Who is not a guy you want to upset anyway, because I have actually stood within a few feet of Dave Bautista.
He's large.
No, he's huge with an adjective that I'm not allowed to use on this family-friendly show. Oh my God.
As his line in the Infinity Wars was, is like, no, this is not a dude. This is a man.
Wow.
You are a dude.
Anyway.
Yes, anyway.
He's not happy with this. He's taken to Twitter. And he says he's legally obligated to do Guardians of the Galaxy without James Gunn, but it's also pretty nauseating to work for someone who'd empower a smear campaign by fascists and cyber Nazis. And get that.
Which makes me like Dave, but I like Dave Bautista already, but it makes me
him
much, much more. I was like, and that's cool.
He says he's not defending the tweets that James Gunn made, but he's a good man, and that if Marvel isn't even going to use the script that James Gunn wrote, he may leave. He said he's going to ask for his release and cut him out or recast him. I don't know who you'd get to recast him.
Well, they would just cut him out, and that really wouldn't be that would make fans happy, obviously. But as you've said, Guardians of the Galaxy has a very large cast.
Big fan base.
It has a big fan base, but also there are a lot of people who are Guardians.
That's true. So
changing Drax wouldn't cripple it. It wouldn't help it, though, that's for sure.
No, because, no.
Of course. He is probably, I don't know, maybe the second most popular character, I would say, after Rocket.
Maybe Groot.
Yeah, and maybe Groot. Which, I mean, I'm sorry, Star-Lord, Mr. Lord. But don't you have a feeling he's probably like the fourth most popular character?
I might go with sixth after Yondu.
Yeah, yeah. Which is odd, but I mean, he's fun and he's great, and Chris Pratt does an awesome job.
Yeah, but we're not knocking Chris Pratt.
Yeah, those, you know, God, we can't. That'd be another lawsuit. You know, the Guild of Chris's would come after us.
Yes.
They really need to have their own agency, don't they? They should. But yeah, that's because all those characters are so much fun. That's why. So it would not help Marvel at all to lose Drax. Certainly wouldn't.
No.
And to the bigger issue, it's not going to help them to lose the James Gunn script either.
Even after the pictures that came out?
And even after the pictures that came out, which, yeah, this, and my son is the person who told me about this just yesterday. I hadn't heard anything about it. And
yeah, you told me what, 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, and apparently Mr. Gunn was at a party several years ago, like, I don't know, what, 15 long, years long ago, maybe, or 20.
This looks old.
Yeah, yeah. And it was based on, now that the story said that he was at a pedophilia-themed party, and there are pictures from it. I should say that's the headline said that. And no, it wasn't a pedophilia-themed party. That makes it a little...
That makes it too creepy, although these pictures aren't helping.
They were based on the show To Catch a Predator.
Right.
There's a world of difference, a huge world of difference between saying someone is at a pedophilia-themed party and a party themed on a show which was all about catching pedophiles. Huge difference.
Although none of them are dressed as cops in this picture.
None of them are dressed as cops in this picture. He apparently was dressed as a priest. And there were no children at this party. There are people, there are adults dressed as children, kind of. But there are no children at this party. So
I think the girl with in the pink shirt with the ponytails and the 5 o'clock shadow is a bit of a giveaway.
And by the way, one of the news sources for this. Photos surface of Guardians director James Gunn at pedophilia themed party. That's on Breitbart. One of the another source we got this covered, bizarre party, bounding to comics. Literally says To Catch a Predator themed party. Again, what are the sources? Breitbart says, oh, it's a pedophilia themed party, and the others say, oh, well, it's based on To Catch a Predator. Again, a huge difference. And one of the commenters said, this was probably a Troma party. Troma, the production company, the Toxic Predator and all those Toxic Predator, geez. Toxic Avenger. Toxic Predator would be something else. And they are toxic. Because one of the people in this party was in Toxic Avenger 4, which actually gives us a date for the party. But that would make perfect sense that this would be a party that, like a party base for the Troma company, because they've always made weird, offbeat, crazy films, and it would make perfect sense that this was a cast party, you know, a rap party for something like that. I can totally see that.
Toxic Avenger 4 was 2001.
Okay, so this could have happened 17 years ago, and if it was a rap party, there's nothing that says it was, but it certainly could have been. So... yeah, this and again, this goes totally into the theme that Bautista brought up, because that's where these tweets originally came from, were from the alt-right, because they wanted to take him down because he's been a very vocal critic of Trump and racist bastards like Trump. And we'll get to that later on another show. But
actually, I mean, that was Bautista's thing. You know, hey, if you're going to get rid of Gunn, why aren't you doing anything about Trump?
Exactly.
And I just looked this up. Guess who was in Toxic Avenger 4?
Was James Gunn in it?
James Gunn as Dr. Flem Hawking.
Oh, there we go. And the Troma milieu fits what he likes to do anyway, so it makes perfect sense that he was in it. So, that's how this is all blown so far out of proportion that... you know, this is initially he's like, oh, my God, you know, he's at a pedophilia themed party. And it's like, that's awful. And then you read about it. And it's like, that is not anywhere close to the truth. No. So, yeah, I here comes the right wing truth seekers building this up to nothing. And I said earlier, I understood Disney saying, OK, we've got to have some separation because Disney's base is kids. It makes it kind of difficult to deal with this, but more and more I'm going to your side, you and Lee's side, is just now just, you know, he's made his public apology. Go ahead and make another public apology and just put him back to work, because these are jokes in poor taste that he did 10 years ago.
He was trying to do a, an Andrew Dice Clay thing. And by the way, one of the little girls I just found, and this may be a Toxic Avenger 4 cast party, because it looks like actress Debbie Rochon, I do not know how to pronounce your name, and I apologize. looks like she's one of the, he was in Toxic Avenger 4 and was in one of these, looks like she was in one of these pictures.
Yeah, it just makes sense that it fits, that it would be a party. Not maybe not a rap party, but certainly could be.
So, Moving on to good Marvel news.
Yes, we need some.
Before there is some. Marvel announced, and I got this morning. I don't know why it was released. It was released late last night.
Rob. Fake news! Fake news!
With the way it's been announced, Marvel has announced that they're going to be re-releasing all of their movies in IMAX as part of a 10th anniversary film festival. And they're going to be showing all of them, 4 films a day, every day, for 5 days. I can't do a festival like that.
No, I hate it when they do that, because it's, you basically have to take a week's vacation to do this.
Yeah.
Most people can't really do that kind of a deal. And
they're doing it for 5 days, 2 days of encores, and then September 6th will come a double feature featuring movies voted on by Twitter fans.
You know, just do one a week. Don't do this thing where you have to watch 4 movies.
That's how Hayao Miyazaki does it.
Yeah, that's how anybody sensible would do it.
Work him in the show some way. It's been a while since we mentioned him.
Yay!
But yes, moving on from beautiful. Other Marvel news, let's see. We have the Soul Stone from the Avengers Infinity War movie. Minor spoiler, but it leads to better things. It was being guarded by the Red Skull, who is the bad guy in the first Captain America movie. But the people who do the Captain America movies wanted to use him again. Now they're being told, well, he's not guarding the stone anymore. That's not much of a spoiler. We know Thanos gets it anyway.
Right.
Now they're allowed to use him again, which I thought was interesting.
That is interesting.
So we could get that. Let's see.
I don't want that unless Hugo Weaving comes back.
That is also true.
I just don't want that.
Samuel L. Jackson and Kobe Smulders, sometimes known as Nick Fury and Agent Maria Hill, are coming back for Spider-Man Far From Home, the Homecoming sequel.
I just have one question. Why would you name your daughter after cheese?
I don't know.
It's just a terrible name. Wonderful actress, but just an awful name.
Well, actually, it's Kobe, no L. I don't know if that's still a cheese. I have one of my daughter's friends' name is Brie, but I can never remember her name at the time, so I just call her Cheese Girl. Anyway.
So vicious. I love it.
Thank you. The Spider-Man sequel, however, is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it's also part of the SUMC. Did you hear about this?
Yes, it's so awful.
It's the Sony Universe of Marvel characters, because they need an acronym too.
And what's so stupid is they have the title, and it's in a movie that's coming out in December. Just call it the Spider-Verse, because that's all you have. If that's memorable, that's easy. No, you don't. Oh my God. Just.
But they've also done some things with the, we'll call it the Spider-Verse, because calling it the SUMP.
It's so terrible.
No.
Clearly, that shows why they needed Marvel's help to figure out how to make good movies again, which is so terrible.
They've decided to scrap the Silver and Black movie and just turn it into a Silver Sable and a Black Cat, each getting their own solo movie. Not that anybody's heard of either of them unless you collected the books, but yeah. I digress. They've also made an adjustment to the Venom movie, which is the one coming out in, December? They decided to cut it back to be PG-13. And if you've seen the trailer, I'm sorry. The thing that made me interested in it was Venom going as far as he did. Cutting it back to PG-13 seems like a bad idea.
It does seem like a bad idea.
But they said they're doing it because someday it may cross over with the MCU, being the main Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Which means what? I mean, why would that matter if...
Because they don't want any of them to be rated R.
Well, as if they were going to be forced to make an R-rated movie because they made an R-rated movie once.
Okay, let's cross over what else is crossed over with the MCU? Oh yeah, that would be Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke. Have you seen any of those? They're not PG-13.
The only reason that they would do this, and it makes sense, is because they figure it's going to make more money with the PG-13 rating than it would with an R rating. Not necessarily true. Look at Deadpool. But typically, in most cases, yeah, PG-13 movies are going to make more than R-rated movies because you're cutting out a big chunk of audience that happens to like comic book movies.
Yeah.
But don't come up with this ridiculous thing. It's like, well, we may cross over in the future. It's like, they're not going to really use all of the most vicious, violent scenes from your R-rated movie in the next movie. You're not forcing them to be R-rated.
No.
And no one's going to say, oh, I'm not going to go let my children see that because the first one was R-rated. People like that won't remember. So that's just harebrained. That comes from someone who would come up with a name like Sumpk for their movie universe.
But Sony's not the only one that doesn't really seem to know what it's doing. There's also another comic group called DC.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me for a minute. Thank God. Anyway, yes. What about DC?
No, it would be Lee. He doesn't know how to tell time. Therefore, he's not on the show.
He knows how to tell time. He spends his time on his life. Good for you, Lee. Good for
you.
Is
that what that is? Anyway, DC seems to have completely forgot what it's doing.
It does.
There is a forthcoming Batwoman TV series, which I am in favor for. I like the character. I like it. It will not have Batman in it at all whatsoever, though. Really? That just seems like a bad idea. Although some interesting things did come out, and that's a pun if you know the character, about the series. Ruby Rose, which sounds like a porn name, and I mean that with all the love and respect in the world, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, she has been cast as Batwoman. Some people know her from John Wick 2 or Orange is the New Black. I've watched.
That is a name that you would think that Donald Trump would be paying $150,000 in hush money, isn't it? Ruby Rose? Anyway, sorry.
She's been cast as Batwoman.
Yes.
Anyway, in the same announcement, there was a subtle announcement that the DC Universe streaming movie is actually coming in September.
Which is rather fast.
That's next month. I wasn't expecting it that quick. And one of the things that's coming out on it is the Doom Patrol series, which is not quite as popular as the Titans series, which is coming out based on the Teen Titans. Doom Patrol is linked a lot with the Teen Titans, but to the point that, what is this actor's name? Jovian Wade is going to be playing Cyborg on the Doom Patrol series, which confuses me a bit because Cyborg has never been part of the Doom Patrol. He was a Titan and then became part of the Justice League.
I'm trying to figure out who at Warner Brothers, DC, whatever, whoever is running the show, is so madly in love with the Cyborg character.
I have actually always liked the Cyborg character.
The Cyborg character, but not at the expense of Martian Manhunter, for one thing.
Well, that too.
Which really pisses me off. And now he's in Doom. Which makes no sense. And now he's going to be in Doom Patrol, which makes no sense. It's like, is there some subset of society which are cyborgs, which are critical to ratings that I'm unaware of? Because it just seems really forced. Oh,
It can't be a cheap character to put on screen either.
He's like the new Batman. Let's put Batman in everything we possibly can. But it's Cyborg.
Except the Batwoman series.
Yeah, exactly. It makes no sense at all to me.
I don't know.
I'm still really looking forward to Doom Patrol. The Teen Titans thing, I don't know.
Let's continue with the things that make very little sense. Guess what movie they're working on next? Go on, guess.
James Gunn, Super Predator. No, I don't know.
You're not that far off. It's another Supergirl movie that has nothing to do with the TV show that they're making.
Of course.
I don't understand why they're doing that. That makes no sense. Although, here's something that almost makes a little bit of sense. Last show I mentioned that there's a Constantine DVD coming out.
Yay.
That's part of the DC Animated Universe. Coming in, October, November, somewhere in there. I found out what it is. There's an animated series, if you want to call it that. They're 5-minute episodes called City of Demons, which was on the CW Seed streaming network. There are 5 episodes out now. The DVD will have those first 5 episodes and the last 7 episodes, which have not been released yet, plus 20 bonus minutes or 4 more episodes. And that's what's coming out on the DVD. Now the streaming series will come out in like January, I think they said, or you can buy it on the DVD,
which is still cool
without all the opening and because it's a 5-minute episode with 30 seconds of credits on either end. So they're really only 4 minutes long.
Gross.
Well, I mean, they're not bad. I watched the first 5.
No, I'm just saying it's an hour. Gross that there's a minute of credits.
It's anyway. One of those things.
Yeah, that's sad.
But you know, yeah, I'll get the DVD just because they're going to have credits only at the beginning and only at the end.
Value.
Yes.
Going back to the Supergirl thing, I can see that, but I hope that Zack Snyder is nowhere near this. I like the direction that DC seems to be going. Aquaman, I'm really on the fence. I don't know, because I just can't get over the bro Aquaman version that they've created, which just is stupid to me.
I'm not a big fan of that either.
But the Shazam thing looks terrific. I love the take that they're going with Shazam, and the fact that for whatever reason Zack Snyder still feels the need to comment on things. Like he made it clear that just to make it clear, that scene when Batman is looking at that Robin's bloodied uniform that he has in the case, that was Dick Grayson. It's like, oh, okay, why
was
would
it? What, how?
According to Zack Snyder, that was Dick Grayson,
yeah.
which makes zero sense, except it's darker. It's like, dude, just shut up.
You just killed Nightwing. No.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The guy's an, I don't know, it. All I can say, I was going to say the guy's an idiot, and he's not an idiot, but watch Punch Drunk. Or no, I'm not Punch Drunk. Super, God, what is that?
Super Punch Drunk?
Not Super Punch Drunk. Sucker Punch. Sorry. Watch Sucker Punch. If you think this guy has
any sanity.
Yeah. Watch that trash fest. That's like one of the worst things I've ever seen.
I liked the trailer, and I got about 10 minutes into the movie.
Right? It's awful. Talk about misogynist crap. And this guy still has a job. Makes some jokes, and this guy makes a movie like that, and DC thought he was cool? It's like, no, man.
Well, how's this then? Have you seen what's going on with the Flash TV series?
I have seen a lot of people upset about his costume.
With Grant Gustin, the new costume, which looks more like the books than
right
they have before.
Exactly.
With you on that. And all of a sudden he's getting these body shaming criticisms sent to him.
I read that and I was like, what?
I mean, body shaming is not cool at any point,
no.
At any time for anyone, period. But, and I really don't understand this. He's too skinny.
Exactly.
What?
Yeah. The Flash, who even in Justice League Unlimited, which had
everyone has an enormous chest,
and the Flash has the smallest of the enormous chests. Even in that, Flash was not a big dude. I mean, if he was walking
Flash
around like a human,
big. He runs a lot. Look at the metabolism.
Exactly, he's never been like a ripped character. It's ridiculous. The guy physically, he's perfect. I mean, I like him in The Flash. I don't really care for the show that much, but he does a good job. To say he's too thin, like, oh my God, what is wrong with people? I mean, like you said, body shaming for whatever purpose is ridiculous and stupid and awful. Which should be the inverse of mind shaming for the people who are making the body shaming comments, because clearly they don't have a brain that's functional. But yeah. to rip this guy because he's skinny, what the hell
that
is?
Just doesn't make sense.
What the hell is wrong with you? He's fit, and he's a great fit for the role. And just God, shut up, you horrible people.
Well, want to end with this one because it makes just about as much sense and
yeah,
as body shaming. Jumanji, and we'll just leave it at that. No,
Bravo, wow. Sir. Bravo.
Thank you. I'll be here for another half an hour. Director Jake Kasdan said he's going to be making a sequel to Jumanji, making it the third one, although he has said this new one is going to still have The Rock and Jack Black and Kevin Hart and Karen Gillan, but it'll be more tied to the Robin Williams version. At that point, I had a stroke and decided to end the show. Because it just... How? How are you... No, that makes no sense at all, whatsoever.
And unless they're going to use outtakes or footage from the first Jumanji, because unfortunately we can't get Robin Williams to be in this next movie. But that certainly seems to be the big trend, isn't it? It's like, oh, let's use actors who are no longer with us and put them in movies. I can see that happening.
It's like how Tupac comes out with a new album every year, even though he's been dead for, what, 20 now?
I was going to say it's like a century. I'm pretty sure he's...
Yeah.
I think he was a 19th century artist. Kind of bizarre. I don't know. I can see them doing things to tie it in more to the first one and bring the two together more. That's fine, but it's just, I'm not sure how they're going to do it. But yeah, go for it, buddy.
We'll see. I'm sure there will be a trailer in the next 6 to 8 months or something like that.
Or
meanwhile, there will be a review show on Friday, which you should tune in for.
You should.
We'll see if Lee shows up. That'll be interesting. We'll see you on Friday.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.